All right.
Yes.
I received one email about an experiment.
Yes.
I think that was done in Sweden.
Yes, Maharaj.
And in this experiment, they took some volunteers.
Yes.
And were able to induce in them what they call out-of-body experience.
Yes, Maharaj.
You know what that is?
Yes, Maharaj. I seen one article, Maharaj, recently on that. They have some, you know, video cameras and, you know, some techniques.
Oh, yes, you yes. saw that, huh?
Yes, Maharaj.
That just recently came out in the Science, I think it was published in Science,
Science
magazine.
Yes, Maharaj.
And yes, one devotee sent me that article.
Yes, Maharaj.
And it was very interesting because, of course, you know, when they're operating on somebody on the operating room,
yes,
they have often found when the people are done with the operation,
yes,
they're telling the doctor that, yes, oh, I saw what you were doing to me.
Yes, yes.
And of course, by when they're doing the operation, the person is anesthetized.
Yes, Maharaj.
So he's completely asleep, unconscious.
Yes.
And yet, the people and their eyes are closed, and yet,
yes,
they're telling the doctor that I saw what you did, and they can explain what was going on in the room when they're being supposedly asleep.
Yes, Maharaj.
And then, so they're wondering how that, you know, what happened, how that's possible.
Yes, Maharaj.
And they often explain that it was as if they were standing somewhere up in the ceiling. And
yes,
looking down at the whole,
yes,
procedure,
yes,
and could see what was going on from that position up in the ceiling.
Okay. Yes, Maharaj.
So they became very interested. What is that? Many, many people have explained the same thing,
yes,
have described the same thing.
Yes, Maharaj.
So they were wondering, what is that phenomenon? How is that possible? And it sounds very, you know, very mysterious.
Yes.
And if it's true, I mean, it gives a very...
yes.
Different idea about who the, you know, who the self is,
yes,
and the relationship to the self to the body.
Yes, Maharaj.
And something along the lines that we would like,
yes, Maharaj,
people to understand about the difference between the self and the body may be contained in that kind of experiment.
Yes, Maharaj. Actually, this out of body experience, Maharaj. There are many articles, Maharaj. There are many reports.
Yes. Yes. Yes,
many records.
Many experiences. So anyhow, what this scientist was able to do in Sweden,
yes,
he put this device on the people's eyes,
yes,
like a cinema,
yes,
screen,
yes,
on their eyes, and he fed cables into,
yes,
that eyepiece,
yes,
one into each eye, and put behind the patient, the person who was being experimented on, they put behind them some video cameras,
yes,
and so that they could see into their eyepiece, they could see what the video camera was seeing. And he put the video cameras behind them,
yes,
so that what they were looking at was their back of their own body.
Yes.
And that was a virtual image projected into that screen, so that they were actually seeing not seeing the real self, but just that image on the screen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the doctor put a stick, you,
yes,
know, some kind of a wand,
yes,
and touched that image,
yes,
with the stick,
yes,
and at the same time, Without the individual being able to see, he touched the stick to the person's chest.
Yes.
When they saw the stick coming to the images, all they could see, and felt the touch on their chest, immediately they identified their self,
yes,
with the image that was being touched.
Yes.
And they showed some reaction from that identification.
Yes.
And by that identification, they immediately transferred out of their body to that image.
Yes.
So they went out of the body, and that's how they induced that stage,
yes,
just by that projection of that holographic image in the front of their eyes,
yes,
and then the touch
yes,
on the body that they saw being touched in that virtual body.
Yes.
Immediately they identified themselves with that virtual body, and he came out of their body, out of their identification with their body. And the most interesting thing was that the description,
yes,
of what they felt like,
yes,
It said, it says, it felt like they felt like an empty shell. Their body, the self, moved 2 meters in space and left the actual body, which instead feels like an empty shell, a doll.
Yes.
So that means when they were out in, when they were in that state, they felt that their body was now an empty shell and just sitting there like a doll, completely detached. They were completely detached from the body. And actually, that explains something I've heard from Sridhar Maharaj, and I also observed in his behavior.
Yes.
He would often appear to be, his body would often appear to be detached. It would often be appear to be detached from his body completely.
Yes.
And his body was sitting there like a doll, empty. And he was somewhere else.
Yes.
Sometimes I noticed that.
Yes.
Now, of course, in this experiment, it's not completely the same as what a person who gets moksha or liberation from the body.
Yes.
Because moksha is something different. Although it's freedom from the body, in which the body appears as, like as Krishna explains in the Gita, that the body is just run by the material energy. It's running under the influence of the material energy. And the soul is completely different from that.
Yes, Maharaj.
So this feeling is that they explain here is exactly what we would expect from what the Bhagavad Gita tells us. But what's the main difference? Can you understand what the difference is between the state that they experienced and what the Bhagavad Gita is talking about?
Maharaj, actually, here is some sense observation is there, Maharaj.
Yes.
But yes, Maharaj, but actually the kind of observation what Bhagavad Gita is speaking, that is, Maharaj, completely on different plane, Maharaj. So that is actually beyond our, material observations, Maharaj.
Yes,
even,
very nice.
Yes,
very nice. Yes, so he was, what happened is that experimenter, situation, the individual is identifying with a visual image of himself.
Yes.
In other words, he still has a subtle concept of the self.
Yes.
Still identifying with a subtle form of his own self.
Yes.
So that means that he's still not transcended the mind.
Yes.
The imagination.
Yes. Yes.
So real moksha means that we're freed not only from the body, but from mind, intelligence, and ego even.
Maharaj, I found that link. I'm sending it here.
What's
Maharaj.
That?
Where
the
is
link
that?
For their article?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes. Link for that article. I've read that. You can all take a look at that.
Yes.
Very interesting. Very interesting how they did that.
Yes.
And but then the problem is left: how to get rid of the identification with the subtle.
Yes, Maharaj.
The subtle body. Mind, intelligence, and ego. That is still left to be done for those persons.
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, actually, they try to understand the, reality in the form of, limited, approach. So, that's why, Maharaj, they can't able to understand the, real, nature. Because, Maharaj, actually, our senses have a lot of limitations. We cannot see light beyond certain limit. We cannot...
Right.
We cannot hear sound beyond certain limit. But Maharaj, actually, the Supreme is, such a, infinitely vast, his nature, and he is so transcendental. It cannot be achieved by, our, material.
No, it can only be achieved by devotion, by service, surrender, and service in that world.
Yes, Maharaj.
So we have to understand what's happening here.
Yes.
That, moksha.
Yes.
Or this liberation from the bodily conception of life is only half the process.
Yes.
Actually, that's also the fact that the liberation from the body and the gross body and the subtle body is only half the process. That's entrance into the plane of Nirguna.
Yes.
Very difficult to do, no doubt, to even get that far. But it's only half the process. That's only the negative process, actually.
Yes.
Understand?
Yes.
The going from the plane of material existence, of subtle and gross material existence, as only leaving the plane, right? Renouncing the plane of exploitation.
Yes.
Because in the material concept of life, we are thinking that we are the center of enjoyment and of honor and of fame and of enjoyment. That's the mentality of the living entity in the material atmosphere. And that's what that mentality creates, the material atmosphere.
Yes.
And so to escape the gross and subtle effects of that mentality is called moksha.
Yes.
Brings us to the plane of nirgun.
Yes.
Nirgun, you know what that means?
Maharaj, actually, nirgun means like beyond these three gunas, like...
Yes, that's right.
Yes, Maharaj.
Beyond the modes of material nature.
Yes.
And when it comes to the plane of nirgun, freedom from influence by the modes. What's that? Yes. Somebody had a question? Then?
Yes.
Then? So that's half the process. That's going from the plane of exploitation to the central, to that... middle point,
yes,
called renunciation or nirgun.
Yes.
To get into the spiritual realm requires still another process.
Okay.
Requires still another process.
Yes.
And that process is called service, devotional service.
Yes.
Bhakti.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that only can be entered by negating this, all the tendencies, all the inclinations toward exploitation and egocentric existence that we experience in the material atmosphere.
Yes.
Understand? So we can't reach that plane, that higher plane, by any process other than by surrender and service.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Only when one has actually developed the mood and the attitude of surrender and of serving Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
Then he can escape completely escape the influence of the material existence,
yes,
and enter into the spiritual realm.
Yes.
Understand? That's what the scripture.
Maharaj, actually, like in one of the incident past time, like Krishna is telling to Arjuna by showing the mountain. These are the birds, trees. Something. Krishna is telling the different things. So at the time, Arjuna is also telling, yes, these are bars, whatever Krishna is telling, he is accepting, Maharaj. So then Krishna told Arjuna, are you blind? I am showing mountain as bars and you are telling those are bars. Then Arjuna said, if you are, that lotus eyes, seeing that mountain as bars, then those are bars. Then, so Maharaj...
I never heard that one.
yes, Maharaj.
I never heard that, but that's possible.
Yes. So Maharaj, actually, Krishna is telling in last, conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Paritej Mam Ekam Saranam Braja Maharaj. So Maharaj, actually, scientists wants to show themselves as, they are self-sufficient to understand everything. So
right.
To bring to that stage, Maharaj, it needs some scientific understanding.
They have to change their mentality.
Humility.
Yes. They have to change their attitude. They can't remain in the self-centered conception of existence, that I am here in the material world and somehow with this egotistic mentality, I can travel to the spiritual world also. No, it can't be. It's not like that. You can't bring this consciousness to that world.
Yes.
One has to give up this consciousness, and that has to be done through complete negation of the exploitative egotistic consciousness and develop the Krishna-centered awareness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the owner, the proprietor.
Yes.
Krishna is the controller, and everything is meant for his pleasure.
Yes.
Until one develops that mentality, then he can't get to the spiritual realm.
Yes,
Madam. So it's a matter of changing one's mentality, not changing your location.
Yes.
Travel to the spiritual world is not merely a matter of changing your location from the material world to the spiritual world.
Yes, Maharaj.
Not a place like that. It's a place within consciousness. And it's the consciousness that allows you to experience the spiritual world is the total opposite of this material consciousness.
Yes, Maharaj.
And so unless one goes through that inversion point,
yes.
This is the inversion, this is the perverted reflection of the spiritual realm.
Yes, Maharaj.
So unless one goes to that inversion point,
yes,
That's called Vairagya or Viroja River.
Yes.
And in Nirgun plane, unless one goes to that inversion point, then there's no way to enter into that higher world.
Yes.
The devotional world, the service world.
Yes.
Understand?
Yes, Maharaj.
So our approach is like that. Our approach is to try to develop that serving attitude, and we do that under the direction of Guru.
Guru, yes. Mm-hmm.
When Guru is there, then we have every possibility of developing a real devotional serving mood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With someone who comes from that world, who is also situated in that world of service.
Maharaj, actually, Gurudev's real mercy that when he, slaps disciple and corrects disciple, Maharaj.
Yes, because we are trying to get out of this self-centered, egotistic existence.
Yes.
So how to do that on our own? Well, it's impossible because we are made of that mentality. We're made of that consciousness. It's very deep within us. It's we're sort of constituted by that egotism.
Yes.
So only with the help of someone who is freed from that, we might be able to get help also.
Yes.
Just like Prabhupada once gave the example, he said, if you're drowning in the ocean, what can you do? Yes. Only if somebody in the boat comes along and says, come on.
Yes.
Right? Then you can get out.
Yes, Maharaj.
But otherwise, you're drowning and you can't get out yourself.
Yes, Maharaj.
Right?
Yes.
And neither can you help anyone else who's drowning.
Yes, Maharaj.
Only if you take help from someone who's in the boat, who's
yes.
already out.
Yes.
Then you can get out and then you can possibly help others.
Yes, Maharaj.
Is a nice example?
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, actually, I forgot a little bit the details, but actually, once I was listening on lecture of Guru Govind Maharaj, so there he's telling actually the instructions of the Supreme Lord is the favorable wind for the boat to move, and the spiritual master is the driving. Maharaj.
Captain.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, the scripture.
Yes.
Scripture and the saints are the favorable wind.
Yes.
And the guru is the captain, and the ship is this body.
Yes.
The body of which the living entity is traveling in.
Yes, Maharaj.
And who, by listening to the instructions and following the directions
yes.
that wind is carrying, the wind of the scriptures and the words of guru,
yes.
The words of the saints.
Yes.
Under the guidance of Guru, this material, the passenger of the soul in this material body can cross over the ocean
yes.
of material existence and
yes.
attain the lotus feet of Krishna.
Yes.
And another thing it says, that as soon as one accepts the instruction of Guru,
yes.
then one has already crossed over this ocean. The ocean shrinks down.
Yes.
That all big ocean of Maya, which is so difficult and impossible to cross,
yes.
because it's so huge, that whole ocean of Maya is impossible to cross.
Yes.
And yet, when he takes shelter of Guru, that whole ocean shrinks down to the water that we find in a calf, the hoofprint of a calf
yes.
in the mud.
Yes.
The hoofprint in the mud of the calf,
yes.
that some water sometimes forms in here, it becomes like that.
Yes.
Means that immediately
yes.
we're able to cross over that.
Yes.
Hari Bol, Vivek Prabhu, you had some questions?
Maharaj, actually, Vivek Prabhu was writing me, actually, in the other window that he had to go to some place. A friend was calling, so he will
yes.
be.
Oh, he's calling now?
Yes, he's writing.
All right. Jai Dandavad Prabhu. Thank you so much for being here. Hope to see you again.
He had some problem also with the sound system, he was telling Maharaj.
Oh, okay.
Our Purushottam Prabhu also joined recently.
Oh, Hari Bol Purushottam.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Jai Dandavat Prabhu.
Dandavat Maharaj.
Maharaj, actually, I was talking with our Tushtiman Prabhu today. So,
yes.
So he told he has many MP3s and videos of Guru Maharaj and Gaur Govind Maharaj.
Yes.
So he will send those to me, so we can upload Maharaj that. And our Vivek Prabhu and Janak Parwal Prabhu, they are expert in computers, so sometimes they will improve. So, so it can help Maharaj, so improve that.
So anything with Gaur Govinda Maharaj, I think we should consult with his disciples.
Yes, ma'am.
And let them know if what we're doing, what we like to do, and if we can get their permission.
Yes, ma'am.
That'll be nice.
Yes.
Otherwise, they may like some other arrangement.
Oh. Okay, Mara. Then should I write?
They would like us to send it to them, and they can put it up on the website they have for Gaur Govinda Maharaj.
Uh-huh.
Like that, we are willing to serve them.
Yes, yes, Maharaj.
And we can put a link to their page then.
Yes, Maharaj.
If they prefer, whatever they prefer, we're happy to serve them.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, they may actually say, because we need their permission, Maharaj.
Yes, we should. That is a proper Vaishnava etiquette.
Yes, yes, Maharaj. So I will ask to our Bhuvaneswar devotees, if our Gogan Maharaj, some disciples, so if they say, whatever they say, we will accept, Maharaj.
Right.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes, Maharaj.
Also, others may not think that anything about Gaur Govinda Maharaj could be on the site with Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj.
Yes.
So they might not even come there to look for that, you know?
Yes, Maharaj.
But better we put it in a place where they can see.
Yes.
And access them.
Yes.
Access them very easily.
Yes, Maharaj.
And we can just put a link to that.
Yes, Maharaj.
So now this newsletter is going to be...
yes,
you're
going
to work on that this weekend.
Yes, Maharaj, I will be working on this weekend on this newsletter. So, because I sent already the paper today, Maharaj, so for this Indian conference. So, I think by your blessings, I will get some strength to work on this, Maharaj, this newsletter.
Okay. By John Mastami, you think it'll be ready?
Krishna has to give some blessings, Maharaj.
Right. Well, if it doesn't, that's okay. You can do it some other time after that, too.
Yes, yes.
No problem.
Yes, Maharaj.
Radharani's appearance day is occurring 2 weeks after that.
Okay, Maharaj.
Well, Radhastami is also a very auspicious day.
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, actually, the scientist, we are discussing, Maharaj, just few, this, they want to understand their approach is such a, fixed approach. So, because they don't want to compromise. So, in that way, Maharaj, actually, there is a lot of problem to understand real, fact. They want to understand planets with some, light, Maharaj.
Yes.
And they want to understand everything impersonal way, Maharaj. But Maharaj, actually, this is they tried lot. I know in civil engineering, Maharaj, they have so much of difficulty in understanding the earthquake. Earthquake, they can't able to understand. They cannot able to model it, Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
They think that some statistic and some data and that can help in understanding this, Maharaj, this earthquake phenomena. But Maharaj, actually, this is adidaivik phenomena. So Maharaj, there is some personality involved behind this. So they don't want to include that personality, Maharaj, in that.
Yes. So we have to show, we have to show that the proper.
Yes.
See, it's not difficult to show, actually.
Yes.
That's what Hegel did.
Yes.
Hegel showed how to understand anything in its completeness.
Yes.
We have to include three things.
Yes.
Mm? We have to include the known, the knower,
yes,
and the knowledge that connects them. Can you understand?
Yes. Yes.
Just like when you see something.
Yes.
Right? There's the seer.
Yes.
There's the thing that's seen,
yes,
and there's the process of seeing,
yes,
that connects the seer and the seen.
Yes, Maharaj.
So with knowing,
yes,
knowledge means that there is a knower and there is the thing that is known.
Yes.
And the knowledge is what connects the knower to the known.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So there's always these three aspects.
Yes.
What kind? How couldn't? How, logically, how can we eliminate?
Yes, ma'am.
These three aspects. And it, there's no way to separate one from the other.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you have? Can you have something seen?
Yes.
If there's no seer.
Can
it
no,
be
Maharaj.
A seen object if there's no seer? Can we? Is it logical to talk about a seen thing without the seer?
Yes, Maharaj. Without
not,
a
not logical.
Not logical.
Without, if you talk, if you say there's a seen object, huh? There's an
yes.
object that is seen.
Yes.
It implies that there is a seer who is
yes.
seeing it.
Yes.
Not only implies a seer, it also implies that there's a process of seeing involved.
Yes, Maharaj.
Right?
Yes.
And if you talk about the process of seeing.
Yes.
By itself.
Maharaj,
is it possible?
It is not possible.
Impossible. Seeing process means
yes.
that there must be something that is seen and there must be the seer attached with
just
it.
Just like Maharaj, we are telling.
The same thing with the seer.
Yes, Maharaj.
Seer can't be possible by itself. Seer means there must be seeing and the thing seen.
Yes, Maharaj. It's just like saying, Maharaj, there is a field without magnet, Maharaj. Because magnet is there, field is there, Maharaj.
Ah, the field yes, is arising from something. Okay, we can say like that too.
Yes.
Sometimes they say the field creates the thing.
Yes.
But anyhow, the two are connected.
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, actually this, like this, all the feelings, Maharaj, like love, motherhood, fatherhood, and Maharaj, this, you know, like, there are, you know, so many symptoms of, you know, this living entities, Maharaj. They have, you know, so much of, you know, inner, like, you know, different feelings. So, Maharaj, those emotions and these things, we cannot present by any kind of equation or any kind of, you know, like, the present day scientific approach, Maharaj. Like, we cannot compose poems the way our, you know, great, you know, like personalities. Yes, they compose in the glorification of Lord by some, you know, mathematical modelings, Maharaj.
Yes.
You cannot do that.
So, but our Pythagoras will argue with you.
Oh.
Pythagoras will say it is possible.
How? What is his argument?
he was giving many examples. He was saying, he said, music can be, you know, there are seven, you know, this seven swaras are there.
Hmm.
Then he gave many examples, and he showed everything can be reduced to, you know, these numbers.
Everything can be. Our Purushottam Prabhu lost, I think, connection. Maharaj, actually this numbers, actually they believe that you know this it can do everything, so this has to be, you know, little bit modification needed, Maharaj, in this.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Hare.
Yes.
Yes. How much did you miss? Did you miss something, Purushottam? What Sushin was saying? Did you miss what Sushin was saying?
Oh, he again dropped, Maharaj.
Hello.
Hello, huh?
Well, you heard what Sushin Prabhu answered?
No, Maharaj.
Tell him again.
Maharaj, actually, Pythagoras, you are telling Maharaj. So actually, actually, this I was telling that in this numbers, what they think that everything can be reduced to numbers. So it has a lot of limitations, Maharaj. So it cannot be possible to reduce everything to number. We cannot reduce the beauty and the motherhood, fatherhood. And also devotion or Maharaj, you know, dedication and all
yes.
this, humility, all this to numbers. It is not possible.
No. Of course, it's like number means what?
Yes.
Number means quantity, right?
Yes.
And it's how many?
Yes.
How many? Number means how many?
Yes.
Quantity.
Yes.
So, if we try to reduce everything to quantity,
yes.
We try to describe everything in terms of quantity. How much can we explain?
Yes.
If I say 100 pounds,
yes,
then what does it refer to? 100 pounds of potatoes, 100 pounds of watermelon, 100 pounds of a human being?
Yes.
How? What is that? 100 pounds is not sufficient to tell me anything.
Yes, Maharaj.
About what is there?
Yes.
It has no qualitative description. It's quantitative description. Only quantitative description means it can't give any qualitative information.
Yes. Even Maharaj, in that quantities also they have limitations, Maharaj. They don't know what is the meaning of 1 meter, Maharaj, till now, like
yes,
1 kilo. So
right.
What to say of, you know, this, you know, we can say quality, Maharaj, qualitative.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, quantity also they have not fixed yet. Right.
Quantity is a relative conception.
Yes, Maharaj.
What you're saying.
Yes, Maharaj.
Actually, that's more than what you're talking about is measure, which is different from quality.
Yes.
But even measure has some relative significance.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
Well, I can easily point out that kind of limitation.
Yes.
Everything in terms of quantity
yes.
can explain nothing in terms of quality.
Yes, Maharaj.
But there is one, Maharaj.
What?
There is one, Maharaj. I will read something from this internet. So this is what people say about, you know, Pythagoras. So Pythagoras is known as the father of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it is written. It is written, we do note that Pythagoras and his students believed that everything was related to mathematics and that numbers were the ultimate reality. And through mathematics, everything could be predicted and measured in rhythmic patterns or cycles. According to Lambicus, Pythagoras once said that number is the ruler of forms and ideas and the cause of gods and demons. So this is something from Pythagoras, Maharaj.
Pushtam Prabhu, can you paste it in the window so that?
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I don't know if someone wants to read that.
Maharaj,
but
I want. Yes.
I don't under. I can't believe that because,
yes.
like I said, number only means how many, huh?
Yes.
And they are giving it some magical significance without understanding what they're talking about.
Yes.
What they're saying.
Yes.
Number only means quantity.
Yes.
Or measure.
Yes.
But where does quality come in? How can one distinguish? See, number is a very general term.
Yes.
That is completely detached.
Yes.
From the particular thing it's determining.
Yes.
Hmm? Like I said, 100 pounds yes. can refer to potatoes. It can refer to, a meat, it can refer to soil,
yes.
can refer to water,
yes.
anything can be 100 pounds.
Yes.
So merely to say 100 pounds doesn't describe anything in any real sense.
Yes.
It's very abstract, it's removed, it's actually something that's detachable
yes.
from whatever it's connected with.
Yes, Maharaj.
And it can be applied to so many other items of that same with that same quantity.
Yes, Maharaj.
That's the first problem with speaking of numbers as being something so fundamental.
Yes.
It can't explain anything from that fundamental basis. Just to say 100 doesn't tell
yes.
what is the 100 of.
Yes, Maharaj.
How do we get from 100 to 100 potatoes?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, Maharaj.
How do you go from 100 to 100 potatoes? How does potato come out of 100? Even if it's 100 potatoes, how do you get the potatoes out of that number?
Yes.
Isn't it?
It's like 100, we have to add this potato word, Maharaj, after that.
Yes. You can't get from 100, you can't get the idea of potato out of 100.
Yes.
So I don't know how Pythagoras was talking about that.
Yes.
How he could say such a thing.
Yes.
It seems totally unrealistic.
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, actually, what I want to say, there is a difference between the kind of number the people know in this world and the number what is coming from the spiritual domain, Maharaj. There are, you know, four Digpalas are there, Maharaj. So, Maharaj, there are also these four Digpalas are personalities, Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
So, Maharaj, this Ashtagopis we say, Maharaj. So, Maharaj, actually, mm-hmm. every number has, you know, some personality behind, Maharaj, if you see, in the spiritual, you know, this understanding.
Mm-hmm.
there is, you know, some link is there, Maharaj. But actually here, the understanding is just opposite, Maharaj. The understanding is, number means some, like, you know, some impersonal understanding, Maharaj, here.
Yeah.
It number is not linked with any personal, you know, what you can say, aspect. So that is what incomplete, incomplete, Maharaj.
That's very difficult conception. I can't understand that conception either.
Yes.
So you can do some research on that and explain it to us. That'll be very nice.
Yes, Maharaj.
How each number has a person connected with it.
Yes.
Sounds like a very high conception.
Yes.
But the only thing I can understand
is
that whatever is known,
there
must be knowing and knowledge, and the knower connected with it. So therefore, person is there in everything.
Yes, Maharaj, because I read any of this, like say, eight horses, anything in spiritual domain, Maharaj, it comes. If it comes with some, you know, like personal aspect, Maharaj. Like
Maharaj.
Anything it comes. We say in a temple also, whatever may be, Maharaj, it comes from some personality I seen, Maharaj. This, you know, even Jagannath Rath Yatra, there are horses, eight horses, or you know, this wheels, everything, you know, in related with persons, Maharaj, actually there.
Because you know, what happens, see?
Yes.
When a scientist is studying something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He becomes so absorbed.
Yes.
In what is not what he knows,
he
becomes so absorbed in the known that the known thing, the thing, takes over the whole interest of the scientist.
Yes.
Right? He's studying this part and that part, and the known thing, that thing that he's studying, is infinite actually, because it's part of it's Krishna.
Yes, Maharaj.
At the bottom of that is Krishna. You see,
yes.
The infinite is contained there.
Yes.
Therein.
Yes.
So he can study that. Till the you know, forever and ever, eternally, he will never come to the final satisfaction of what that is.
Yes, Maharaj.
And it's also very alluring, attractive,
yes.
because Krishna is there too,
yes.
and even in the object that of his study.
Yes.
So like that, he becomes so absorbed. Yes, he becomes so absorbed in that object that what happens?
Yes, Maharaj.
He forgets that he's there.
Yes.
That his processes of thinking is, and so forth is going on while he's studying that. He forgets about that.
Yes.
And he forgets about the process of knowing that's involved.
Yes, Maharaj.
In that object, and studying that object.
Yes.
You can't study that object unless there's cognition involved.
Yes, Maharaj.
So what role that he plays, what role cognition plays in that object that is cognized, that he neglects. Two-thirds of the situation to study only one-third because of his complete absorption in that. That's called Maya.
Yes, Maharaj.
He becomes so absorbed in one aspect into the neglect of the others that he takes that one aspect as the total reality and is neglecting the other aspects.
Yes, Maharaj.
And so how can he come to a full knowledge of things?
Yes, Maharaj.
That's how they become impersonal. They just neglect the person that's studying the thing, the scientist.
Yes.
And they become absorbed in the science and they neglect the scientist.
Maharaj, I was listening one lecture in the room conference, Maharaj, this lecture, this DVD.
Right.
So there one scientist saying, scientists come to God at last. But actually, spirituality from right the beginning address God, Maharaj. Here, Maharaj, what I see that, you know, scientists work hard for their whole life. Like, not I'm telling about these ordinary people who identify themselves as, you know, so-called scientists. But I'm telling about the sincere, what you can say, hard-working persons who made their, you know, goal is to know something in, you know, scientific, the whatever exists in the present scientific, you know, what you can say, the ways of, you know, understanding things. So they at last become frustrated by that approach, and they try to see like that, you know, this like I would say, you know, this Einstein realized the vastness of the, you know, this reality, Maharaj. Then he acknowledged that, and even Newton, Maharaj. So these all, you know, all scientists, they worked hard. Then they understood that, you know, by this approach, it is not possible to understand the complete, you know, this, you know, what is the reality in the completeness, Maharaj. It is not possible. So they understood that, and then they speak about, you know, this higher, you know, what you can say, God, and, you know, other, you know, higher reality, this, you know, they comes to that, you know, but that is not also complete because they not reached to the proper authoritative, you know, source, Maharaj. So that's why Prahlad Maharaj says this spirituality should be taken as early as possible, Maharaj. So, so but actually here the what is happening is the modern scientific approach. They will be frustrated, then they want to come to, you know, this you know, understanding. So then, Maharaj, it is too late for them, Maharaj, in that.
Yes.
They already lost their life, Maharaj, in that.
Maharaj, I want to add some things. Actually, this Greek, you know, these concepts, like there are many Greek philosophers, like, for example, there is one, Zeno. There is a scholar called Zeno. And then there are also this our Aristotle. So they are all, you know, they advocated some different type of philosophy. So it produced much debate in the, you know, the Greek culture, and then there was, actually they were very intelligent people in some sense. Then what happened? After the arrival of Lord Jesus Christ, there was a big revolution in, you know, all these, you know, places. And Christ, when he was speaking, it was so, you know, what is that, completely, you know, like different from what they were thinking at that time. And like all the schools, all everybody felt something, you know, like threatened by, you know, what Christ was speaking. So definitely the reaction that Christ received in this Rome and other places is just a natural culmination of the thinking that is that was prevalent in that ancient land. And after Christ's teachings, there was much, you know, debate, and there was much, you know, a kind of new, you know, some light came in that land, and people started composing because Greeks were very fond of, you know, plays and, you know, dramas and music. So now the people started composing musics, drama, plays in the same line, but they started, you know, challenging this ancient or whatever this our Greeks were thinking. So with regard to Pythagoras, this his theory of numbers was so strong that actually it was very difficult to, and then at that time people composed many plays. I'm not able to, you know, get one play right now, but actually if we see that play, it is mentioned in that Pythagoras will answer, yes, I can explain music like the strings, they are one harmonic or two harmonic or three harmonics. Then he will say everything like that Maharaj is explaining. At last they came to, you know, feelings, what is pain and what is pleasure. So at that point there was some gray area. That time Pythagoras was not so could not answer so strongly, but he would still say that it may be possible, it should be possible to explain. So that was but then you know there was no conclusion there. So therefore by the influence of Lord Jesus Christ, I think much good was done to this, you know, and people started thinking of Lord actually a little bit more than earlier. So I think this is a very interesting phase, and now when now what happened after that, you know, initial period when Christ came, say about 200 to 300 years after that, you know, another type of dark period was coming, and there was Islamic, you know, world came, and then in India also much revolutions came. Then people slowly introduced bhakti cults, and in the 16th century in Europe, there was much change actually, because we hear from this Leonardo da Vinci, then many other great personalities like Ferdinand Magellan, and
that's
so
called enlightenment. Enlightenment. Enlightenment.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. So, but if we study the work of Leonardo da Vinci and some other scholars at that particular time, it means around 1400, 1500, we'll see they are not like modern scientists. But the modern scientists, they broke away with, you know, this our Copernicus, then our Galileo, and then they wanted to have a natural philosophy. In the natural philosophy, they will say, I can explain everything on nature by just studying nature itself. Why I have to go through your, you know, clergy? Why I have to go through this Bible? Why I have to talk about God? So then this thing picked up some kind of momentum. Right. And then this two things became a little separate. But before that, the clergy was doing well actually, because we know there are many great, you know, scholars in Christian world, like Bonaventure is a very great personality. He was a very brilliant person. Also our Thomas Aquinas is very great. Then even there are other people like Anselm, Saint Anselm is very powerful personalities. Then we have also Augustine in 5th century. But somehow when this Copernicus came and something happened and they discovered something mathematical, something like, you know, which people could manipulate, which people could, you know, play with, and they could feel satisfied, I know something. So then some time passed in that way, and then this period of Kant came and Spinoza came, and then your Hegel also, Maharaj. So that was a very changing kind, transition type of time, you know, when people were really arguing, philosophy, because they were also good philosophers. And now the time has come when people are again thinking modern science needs some extra input. So it seems to me, Maharaj, that there are some basic questions which has led to the development of modern science the way we have it today, and the kind of thinking that we want to, you know, pursue. But in between, many things were done half, or they were left undone, or people didn't pursue them. But I think they formed some crucial landmarks. So I think if you can catch those some important, you know, landmarks, then and the kind of arguments they used to you know, propagate their thinking, it seems to me, Maharaj, that in a humble way, we can again, you know, present that why the scriptures spoke like that. So then I think that it will be a very good, I think, adjustment, I mean, to the entire historical perspective and also the actual aspect, you know, of modern science.
So you see what has happened, though. The modern period has actually become Pythagoreans. Again, we have become Pythagoreans. Because why? Because at the base of all science is what?
Yes, Maharaj.
Mathematics.
Yes, this. Yes, Maharaj.
Everything is an equation now. Equation means numbers.
Yes, well,
not
Maharaj.
Exactly the same as Pythagoras, but in the same vein, that everything is based on mathematics. Mathematics can explain everything. And mathematics means numbers,
Maharaj.
Quantitative. So science is what?
Yes,
it's about quantitative. It's merely quantitative study of things, isn't it? And quantitative means that it must be related to mathematics. So again, we have become Pythagoreans.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. Exactly.
You see? Isn't it?
Yes.
Again,
yes,
we have become Pythagoreans.
Yes.
So we've gone backwards.
Yes.
Instead of going forward, we've become backwards. Christ taught about the real reality of spirit. And again, they wanted to take that to the Pythagorean quantitative analysis rather than the qualitative existence of spirit.
Yes, Maharaj.
So again, we have come back to that. So how many times do they have to come back to the same thing again and again and again before they recognize what is the reality, before they get out of this abstract thinking? There's a tendency in this world to become impersonal, abstract, and to forget about the spiritual, the personal aspect.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes.
So what to do? So we can only try to point this out, that again, you have become Pythagoreans. You think you're advancing, but you have gone backwards.
Yes, Maharaj.
You have gone backwards.
Yes, Maharaj.
So we want to go forward. We want to make advancement. Christ started things off in the Western world with a spiritual knowledge. And instead of progressing further to understand that spiritual knowledge further by going to India and finding out what they knew so much more than what Christ taught, there we can go forward and capture more knowledge of that realm instead of going back to Pythagoreanism.
Yes, Maharaj.
Sometimes when if you're having a horse, the horse is driving you, is pulling the wagon, and sometimes the horse dies. But when the horse is living, they have a little whip, and they beat the horse to make him go, so that he goes forward, doesn't stand still. They give a little whip to the horse to make him go. They call it beating the horse. And if the horse dies, and you beat the horse, he won't go anywhere, will he?
Yes,
you can beat the horse while he's dead, and he won't do anything. So sometimes they call that beating a dead horse. Beating a dead horse means they are doing something that has already been dead. Pythagorean has already been dead for so many years, and they are trying to go to that again. It means like beating a dead horse.
Yes,
trying to go forward by beating the dead horse is not going to help.
Yes, Maharaj.
So we must try something different. try to make progress from where they left off, where Christ left off, his teachings, all those great philosophers and scientists, to make progress in that direction. That'll be progress.
Yes, Maharaj.
Not this remathematization, trying to turn everything into quantitative mathematical foundation.
Yes, Maharaj.
And the more they do that, also, the more they try to explain everything in terms of mathematics, like this string theory and M theory and all these things, the more abstract it becomes, because mathematics is by itself abstract. Is in itself abstract.
Yes,
it's quantitative merely.
Yes.
Huh? It's quantity. Yes. Quantity, like I said, is abstract. It has no. It doesn't relate to anything concrete, like potatoes. You don't find any potatoes in mathematics. So by talking only in terms of mathematics, we enter into the world of abstractness. Abstractness means unreal.
Yes.
What is not real.
And so therefore they
Therefore, they pose all these different spaces of 23 dimensions and 10 dimensions and, you know, all these things they talk about that have, where do we ever experience that? Only they're making some mental imagination of things, and they enter into that imaginary world of 23 dimensions. And where's the practicality of it? And they still haven't explained how a blade of grass grows from all that 23 dimensions.
Yes.
What's that?
I find, Maharaj.
Yes.
Are you there?
Hello.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes.
What's that? What did you want to say?
I find, Maharaj, one of the arguments of Srila Prabhupada very, you know, important in this condition. Because actually now, for example, Prabhupada used to, I mean, I'm just quoting Maharaj. He should say, but who is the person who is driving the thing? You know, suppose,
right.
who is the person who is driving the car? He used to ask that question. So similarly,
right.
Now we have these computers. Computers are basically full of numbers because we have so many bytes, bits and all.
Right.
They are basically all numbers. But somebody has to boot the computer. Somebody has to, you know, write something, compose, and then that computer, you know, works. So the definition of the Prabhupada for mathematics is this. Mathematics is the impersonal representation of the music of the Lord. So then, that means mathematics has some position, Maharaj. But it is only impersonal. But so there is a personal aspect, and both are together, actually. So, but it is very difficult for, at least for me, Maharaj, to understand this and even to talk intelligently about this. I am just praying, Maharaj, that somehow I get some blessings. I mean, we all get some blessings,
you have to study the philosophy of mathematics. It's a very hard subject, very esoteric subject, but especially I think will be helpful in this regard is Gödel. You know Gödel's theorem?
Actually, Maharaj, I had some talk to something with Anantaram Prabhu, and he told me that he sent me some notes. Some basic thing about logic, first of all, and then he said that Gödel will come at the end, and but Gödel's theorem also, it only proves the imperfection of the logic, actually, in understanding the ultimate reality.
It's a mathematical philosophy. He uses, you have to have some understanding of philosophy of mathematics in order to read Gödel. And he gives a very systematic way of approaching that philosophy from a mathematical point of view. But the conclusion is that mathematics is insufficient to completely explain a system. Huh? That's his conclusion.
Yes,
that leads to some contradictions when you come to self-reflective systems. So, I mean, I think that's a very powerful argument for the fact that mathematics is
incomplete.
Incomplete, abstract understanding of things.
Yes, Maharaj.
And then, so we have to say, well, all right, if that's the case, then we have to go to something besides mathematics. I mean, that's from the mathematical point of view in itself. But I mean, just from the logical point of view, from the common sense point of view, we can understand that mathematics is merely a quantitative description of things. And quantitative can never get to qualitative. Although there is a connection. Quantity and quality are connected.
Yes.
Hegel gave the example that if you have a glass of water, right?
Yes.
A glass of water is a certain quantity of water.
Yes.
And you can expand that quantity, and it becomes, instead of a glass of water, it becomes a pond.
Yes.
According to the quantity of water you have, it may be a glass of water, it may be a pond.
Yes.
And if you have more water, it becomes a lake.
Yes.
Huh? So the quality of the thing has changed just by increasing the quantity.
Yes.
Huh? And you increase the quantity more, it becomes an ocean.
Yes.
So an ocean and a lake are different by what? By the quantity of water that's in them, isn't it?
But
a glass of water and the ocean are different by the quantity of water that's contained in them. So quantity also affects quality.
Yes. Actually, one of the difficulties that modern people have in accepting a supreme being or supreme personality of Godhead is that how can there exist one person who is all knowing? They cannot. It's very difficult for them to accept this. So now, for example, and they have prepared and to support this actually. They have given large number of arguments. For example, they say, why there is evil in this world? If there is a God, then why there is evil? Why there is iniquity? So they have developed a large set of questions by which they think it is impossible to have a being who is all-knowing. And from that they say there is no God, because God must be all-knowing. So actually they have some difficulty in accepting such a paradigm. So, this is the point also which Anantaram Prabhu told me that, for example, our Grassi, the Metanexus Institute, they are not able to accept that God can be omniscient. Yes, they are not able to accept. For them, the God is an evolving God. It is not that the God of who's an omniscient person. So I can understand, we can understand that this is because they are not able to develop a conception that how there can exist supreme being who is omniscient, who is all loving, all caring, like that. So there is some lack of knowledge actually there.
Right. So again, we have to say, first of all, if we understand this point that I was making, that if there is an object, right?
Yes.
If there is an object,
yes,
then there must be the knowledge of that object and the knower of that object.
Yes.
We can understand on a finite scale that whatever object is there, whatever is known, whatever object is known to us, then it must be the knower and the knowledge of it. It's not that the object can exist by itself ever. And there's no existence of an object by itself. Otherwise, who can talk about it? Who can say it's there? In order to say object, we have to have somebody there that says that that's an object there. So the knower, the knowledge, and the known are inseparable. All right. Now, at the universal level, is the universe an object or not? Huh?
Yes, certainly.
Ah.
Yes.
And we know it.
Yes.
It can be known. Ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Huh? And there is knowledge of it. Huh?
Yes.
Then who is that?
No,
who is that knower of the? If we say there is a whole object, we don't know the whole object, the whole universe. We never know. We don't know. We can never know it.
Yes.
But if we say it's there, then certainly someone
ma'am.
Must know it.
Yes.
Right? It must be known to someone.
Yes.
And that is Krishna. That is God.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Right?
Like that. Now, as far as omniscience is concerned.
Yes, Maharaj.
Because the object, whatever object it may be, whether it's the universe or a stone, because the object requires
Maharaj.
A knower, and is inseparable from the knower,
the
knowing is also there.
Okay.
But somehow or other, knowing is doesn't reveal everything at once.
Yes.
Yes, Maharaj.
We can know a stone, but we don't know everything about the stone because it's an infinite system.
Yes.
Because there's some infinity involved in the whole process.
Yes, Maharaj.
So God is infinite, but the object of God also is also infinite.
Yes, Maharaj.
So there is a process going on. It's infinite process of omniscience, of knowing, that excludes and includes at the same time.
Yes, Maharaj.
And like that. So there, and then within that process, that infinite process in which there is something manifest and something that is unmanifest, as known and unknown, there is the finite aspect also. That finite aspect has its freedom, because the whole is free, because God is free, has freedom, then the finite aspect of it has freedom. And because of that freedom, then that means we can misuse, we can misunderstand our position. And the cause of evil is therefore the finite being, not God. God is not the cause of evil.
It's
the finite being that's the cause of evil.
Yes.
Don't blame God for what we're doing.
Yes.
And although he knows, although Krishna knows everything that's going on, still, how can he interfere with the freedom that is essential to his own nature? How can he obstruct his own freedom? God can obstruct his own freedom. And that freedom which is permeating all finite creatures, that can't be obstructed either. So he allows that evil to go on. That's all. It's part of the freedom of God. It's part of the freedom of the living, that is manifested in the living entity also. That we have our freedom to commit. But there's also a process how to get out of that by surrendering to God. There's the problem and there's a solution. And unless we become submissive to the will of God, to the free will of the Lord, then we have to be subjected to the evils of this world. And that's necessary. That suffering is necessary. That kind of uncomfortable position, that unfavorable position is necessary. Why? So that we can rejoin our joyful, so that we can hook up with our joyful position again. It's a gift. All this suffering, all this evil is a gift. To remind the living entity of what he's at, of the joy that he's actually capable of.
And
impel him to give up that wrong attitude. If there were no evil, who would be impelled to give up that wrong attitude? Rather, we live within this material consciousness forever and ever, if it was all happy here, if we didn't have any problems here. That problem, those problems are the gift of the Lord to get us out of this situation that is improperly conceived by us.
Yes, Maharaj.
Then what's so difficult? What's so difficult to understand?
Yes, if we can understand the basic axioms, if we can know that.
Put down these basic axioms. How we can understand? First of all, that there is a person connected with every object. If there's an object, there must be a person, a subject.
Yes.
The first axiom.
Yes.
Second axiom, that the person, by being a person, he has a free will automatically.
Yes.
Any consciousness, any conscious being has a free will connected with it, because of the spontaneity of thought that is connected with a person. I think I explained that on the other day.
Yes.
I like that. Then there has to be, because the universe is an object, then there must be a supreme person who knows that object. Who is the subject of that object, and because of the infinity of that subject and object, then there's a partial manifestation and full there's always a partial revelation and partial hiddenness that is found there. That one thing, and then the other thing is, because if it's infinite, it also contains the finite within it. How can something be infinite and exclude anything? If it's infinite, it can't exclude anything. Everything must be there, contained within it. So the finite must also be there within the infinite. And from the finite, as endowed with the same free will as the totality in which it's encompassed, then that finite free will means he can do wrong. He can do evil as well as good. And that's where the source of evil comes. I like that. You can explain the different axioms. And a logical progression.
Yes, Maharaj.
Maharaj, actually, can
you write that all down, Purushottam?
Maharaj, I will
make a little book of axioms. Yes, make a little book of it. See if you can make a logical progression of all those axioms.
Actually, I was discussing these things with Guru Maharaj also, Maharaj, because all these things Guru Maharaj only introduced me to all these topics.
Yeah.
But Guru Maharaj will speak like, you know, one sentence, but it requires a lot of hard work, Maharaj. But by working with Guru Maharaj for some time, I'm really happy, Maharaj, because I feel myself so fortunate, very rare that I got such a wonderful opportunity to just sit in front of him and listen to him, because he was doing so many things. But because I was going to that place, so I will just sit and Guru Maharaj will say something sometimes, this thing, that thing. So all the ideas came sometimes, you know, slowly one by one. But now I feel Guru Maharaj, Madan Maharaj, that time has come, Maharaj, for me at least, to be very, you know, systematic. And also I need help, because I have some basic questions and I have some desire to, you know, work a little hard in these topics. But at the same time, I know that I may try very, very hard also, but I cannot crack these problems. So I need the, you know, blessings of the parampara, all these sadhus, and I don't know what we can do, Maharaj, but I'm sure by their blessings, everything can be done. All
yes.
difficult things are possible by their blessings, Maharaj. So that is our only hope, Maharaj.
Yes. So you try sincerely like that. I think you'll be able to come up with something. You know, it may not be perfect, but like that, we
yes,
are
yes.
trying. Try our best. Krishna will appreciate your best effort, your sincere effort.
Yes, please.
That's all we can do. And
yes,
others will benefit by whatever you understand. If you give that to others, why they'll benefit.
Yes, Maharaj.
Because they don't eat. You have had so much mercy. If you can give a little of that to others, and you've got some benefit from that mercy, if you can give a little bit of that to others, they will also get benefit. No?
Yes,
just because we don't know everything doesn't mean we don't say anything. Once Sridhar Maharaj was explaining that he was reluctant to become guru. He was reluctant to become guru, to take any disciples, because he felt he didn't know everything. Although he was a very advanced, and he was recognized even by his spiritual master as a very noble Vaishnav, still he felt himself very insufficient. And so he never took disciples. In the beginning, he never took any disciples. And then he was realizing that he was praying to Nityananda Prabhu for his mercy, and requesting mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And then he realized that Nityananda Prabhu was, because Nityananda Prabhu was so merciful, he was requesting mercy from him for himself.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj.
And he realized the contradiction in that. Here, I am requesting the mercy from the all-merciful Lord Nityananda, because
yes,
he is giving mercy even to the most fallen, and I am taking that.
Yes, Maharaj.
And but I am not reciprocating that mercy. I'm not with others. I'm taking that mercy
yes,
for myself from such magnanimous soul, but at the same time, I'm not giving anything. I am not being magnanimous in my own behavior.
Yes, Maharaj.
So how can Nityananda be pleased with me?
Yes, Maharaj.
Like that, he was thinking. And
yes.
another thing he thought, the doctors, they don't have all knowledge of the body and all the illness and how to cure it. They don't have all that knowledge.
Yes,
have little knowledge.
Yes,
may have a little knowledge
yes,
about things.
Yes.
But because they don't have all the knowledge, does that mean they go on strike? They don't treat anybody?
Yes, Maharaj.
They may have a little knowledge, and they know their knowledge is not perfect or complete. Yet they don't stop treating people.
Yes.
Whatever they understand,
yes,
they try to help. They try to help others with that
yes.
little bit of knowledge and hope that it will be successful. They know that ultimately it's not up to them. That whatever
yes,
they
Maharaj.
Can do, they're doing. But ultimately, there are so many things beyond their knowledge.
Yes.
So what to do? They
yes,
have to rely on something further than just their own efforts. So like that.
Yes,
in that case also, if one becomes a teacher to others, may not be perfect in himself, but at least he can help with what he knows.
Yes.
And that will be appreciated.
Yes,
that will be helpful to others.
Yes. Yes, Maharaj.
So if we take that attitude, very humble attitude, I may not know so much, may not know, I may
yes,
only know very little, drop,
yes,
less, a fraction of a drop even,
yes,
but still that's something.
Yes.
And I can give that to whoever comes to for some instruction. I can give that. There's a very nice attitude. I think that's the proper Vaishnava attitude.
Yes, Maharaj.
I have received mercy. Let me give that mercy also.
Yes.
So, because it's such a rare thing. Such a rare thing, especially our Sampradaya's teachings. It's such a rare thing in this world.
Yes.
We should not keep it under the. We should not keep it under the pillow.
Yes.
Under the covers, we have to get it, let it go out, let it be exposed to as many people as possible.
Yes, Maharaj.
And it's up to them. Actually, of course, Maharaj, it's up to the other people to accept it or not. What's that?
Yes. So today, whatever you have spoken, Maharaj, this entire exchange that we are having. So first of all, I would like to transcribe the whole thing. I will listen and transcribe, and I think Maharaj, very good ideas will come from that. And
this is a good starting point.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes,
Maharaj. So okay. I think, and I have some thoughts. With Anantaram Prabhu, I have some good relation, Maharaj, and he's very intelligent person, and he knows certain things. So I think Maharaj, something can come up in due course of time, and he's also interested in these kind of topics.
Yes. Yes, if you can work with him, that'll be very nice. It's nice to see
the
devotees working cooperatively together.
Yes, Maharaj.
We are very thankful to you, Maharaj, because I feel I cannot discuss this thing with anybody, Maharaj. After Guru Maharaj left, I cannot discuss with anybody. I have to just silent, because if I discuss, then who is there to reciprocate, Maharaj, favorably? But I found, with so much blessings, so many, it's very rare that we got your association, Maharaj, and we are able to say some things. We are able to, sometimes I think that I am very hard to you, Maharaj, that I am saying, quoting this Vathagoras like this. But I feel at the end of it, so much good things are coming up, and so much, it's a food for soul, Maharaj. And so much, insights are coming. And it is so great, Maharaj. It's extra. We are so thankful to you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Very nice. Well, you make me feel happy that I can be of some service.
Yes, sir.
Shushan says his boss is there. His director is there in the office with him, I guess.
Yes.
So he can't tell anything to us.
Yes.
And also, Maharaj, you are also a very qualified person. And, only a qualified person will speak, and he can appreciate other persons' good things. And I have so much, hope, and, because parampara is always there. Parampara is continuing. It is eternal. And so you are also in parampara, Maharaj. And so I think that even though you may be, thinking that, but ultimately you are also, Maharaj, a great personality in our eyes. And so something nice will come up, Maharaj. And I'm praying to all authorities for, giving all their, blessings upon you, Maharaj. Although I am a small person to speak like that, but it is my prayer and it is my, wish that some great things will come also. In this way.
Well, I'm also thinking that you are a great personality and some great things are going to come from you. So I'm only doing some service for you, actually. And praying that so many wonderful things will come from you and all the devotees. Because I'm only here for some time. And of course, you are only there for some time as well. But you will probably go on after I'm not here. And so someone has to deliver these things over from one generation to the next. So I'm praying that you'll all be successful and be able to take whatever I've received, if I can give that to others from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, from Srila Sripad Maharaj, what I've learned from him, from Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, ma'am.
Then that's our process. It's our process.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Maharaj.
Having the sincere souls there is also a very valuable thing. And it's Krishna's mercy. It's only Krishna's mercy that's possible. Otherwise,
yes, Maharaj.
But anyhow, I'm just trying to give to some devotees and they have not accepted that. And then what to do? I have to keep it under the pillow if no one is there to listen, right?
No, I have, whenever I face such difficulties, Maharaj, I am always reminded of one very extraordinary quote of Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, if even two of you can work together, then if even two of you can agree with each other, then the Lord will give you everything. So that was his,
He said, he said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, yes, I am present there.
Yes, Maharaj.
Krishna appears.
Yes, Maharaj.
And whenever two or more devotees are talking about him, and Krishna is present, yes, there, and that becomes in itself is the incarnation of Krishna. That is so powerful. What no one can imagine how much potency is there.
Yes, Maharaj. I have good relation with Sushant Prabhu. Now I have good relation with you also, Maharaj.
Yes.
And I think I have good relation with my Guru Maharaj. So, yeah. Maharaj, everything is there, Maharaj.
Yeah. Anyhow, now all we have to do is put some service.
Yes, Maharaj.
Try to do some good service so that others can be benefited. That's all. That's the only thing have to add. I hope that you'll be inspired to do that, to write and publish and to preach. Yeah, then it'll be perfect.
I need blessings, Maharaj. Of all, I need, because this was the instruction so of everyone to me. Even Guru Maharaj used to say, the very first thing when I met him, he said, you preach. And on the last day also, he says, you write. So the first instruction he told me was, you write, when I went to him. Mm-hmm. The last instruction was the same. Yes. So even though we are unqualified, Maharaj, but Guru's instructions are there. We are just praying. It's not that Maharaj, I will write or I can write. It's not like that, Maharaj. But it is Parampara's will. So I am asking them only to help. Nothing else, Maharaj.
We are the servants. So their will is our command. Like that.
Yes, Maharaj.
So Mahaprabhu is also told, become Guru throughout and go preach throughout the world. Throughout the land, so we have to do that. That is our service. That is His will, and then His will becomes our service, becomes our command.
Yes, Lord.
Very good, very good. Yes, devotees have studied so hard. The senior devotees have studied their lives and given their lives to study these things and learn these things and apply it in their lives, and they give that to others. Then, like that, we can. Pick up something and try to develop that further in our own lives and distribute that to others as well. And like that, it goes on. Because there's plenty of people out there who are trying to become servants of Maya. So if the devotees are very lazy and not doing anything and thinking, I have Krishna, I have my bhajan and all these things, and then letting the rest of the world go like that to hell, that is not very nice, not very good proposition. Yes. So we have to work very hard also to teach the innocent people.
Yes, Maharaj.
That'll be the only responsible Guru Maharaj, thing.
Guru Maharaj wants to include everyone. He wants to include the Ramanuja followers, he wants to include Madhava followers, he wants to include even Mayavadis, he wants to include Buddhists, Muslims, one and all. That is his, And I think in this regard he told one very important sentence. He said, we want to promote schools of free thinking. So this is the free thinking that we have to promote, Maharaj. Just our work should be such, Maharaj, that people can think for their own and they can develop this spiritual idea. And that will be the best service, Maharaj. So that's why I prayed to Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, we have worked on these four sutras. And now, we have no doubts that this is a fact. But now this expression must come, Maharaj. And this expression is very individual. Because everyone has his relationship with Supreme and with others also. So if everyone can, develop his own individual way of, the perfect understanding about Krishna consciousness, then that will be our, you know, success.
We have to be careful that freedom is, our freedom is limited by necessity. Yes, also. You can't have freedom without necessity.
Yes, Maharaj.
These things may seem contradictory, but freedom yes, without Maharaj. Freedom without slavery is not possible.
Yes, Maharaj.
From the spiritual yes. point of view, spirit, yes. freedom without slavery is abstract.
Yes, Maharaj.
So we are free. We believe in the freedom of slavery to the ultimately free.
Yes. Huh? Yes, Maharaj.
Only we yes. can only really become free by becoming slave to the free.
Yes, Maharaj.
Our freedom will.
But I am.
Just like
I am seeing Maharaj.
Yeah, just like when you have like in the country, right? In your country, any country, there are laws.
Yes, we
call it democracy, that everyone is free, right? We call it democracy, where everybody's supposed to be free. Yes. Then, but there are so many laws in the country, isn't there? And that if you violate yes. the laws, you say you're free. But if you violate the laws, what happens? You go to the jail. Your freedom yes. is taken away from you. You're saying, but I'm free. How come I have to take laws? How come I have to obey the law? If I am free, then why are you calling this land of freedom? But then why are there so many laws that I have to obey? Then how is that freedom?
Yes, Maharaj.
Huh?
Yes.
So, yes. not freedom doesn't mean that there's no law, there's no necessity. You are free yes, only within the necessity of the law. You can drive on the road anywhere you want to go, isn't it? But
yes, Maharaj.
You have to stay on the certain one side of the road. You can't go on the other side where the traffic is coming the other way.
Yes, Maharaj.
You must follow that law. In America, you have to drive on the right side, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
If you stay on the right side, don't go on the left side, then you can go anywhere you want. You're free to go. But as soon as you drive on the left side, then the police will come and they will take you. You are doing this. You
yes.
are doing wrong. You can't drive anymore. Your freedom is restricted.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
So freedom doesn't mean that you can do anything you want.
Yes.
If that's the case, it becomes destructive. Your so-called freedom becomes yes. self-destructive. You'll destroy yourself because you are a part of the environment, and the environment has its own.
Actually, the one important point which Guru Maharaj was actually feeling always is that he felt that within the present day ISKCON structure, somehow, I mean, there are sincere devotees, but because, there is some unwanted restriction somewhere, even though they are following, four regulatory principles and that, it is not, and that is true for many of the other religious organizations, like even for Catholic Church and this also Protestant Church, that people cannot, when they advance in this devotional line, then they find that, but if there is some encouragement to such advanced devotees, then I think it is good for the whole world. In that sense, Guru Maharaj meant that actually.
Maharaj, actually, what actually I can speak, Maharaj, now just my guide left. So Maharaj, what I'm
so late he is coming there, huh?
Maharaj, he has some work, so he was doing. So here, Maharaj, like everybody, they are behind Lakshmi Maharaj. So, because they seek happiness from only women or this kind of, eating or this kind of things, Maharaj. Because they don't seen yet the higher, joy. So, Maharaj, here everywhere if you find, these four restrictions are there, Maharaj, in our tradition, our Guru Parampara. So, but these four restrictions are very liberal here, Maharaj. Like gambling, everywhere, Maharaj, you will find one lift is there. And that lift, you can put some 1,000 Korean won, and it will be, by chance, it can lift some object, Maharaj. So everybody is engrafted in that, Maharaj. They take a lot of joy in that. And I find every street, there are, some, prostitute house, and they eat everything, Maharaj. There is no restriction in eating anything. They can eat everything, Maharaj. So this is like these four restrictions are like, you know, intoxication, you find beer and this all, you know, alcoholic things, there's a quite like in open Maharaj. So this is the situation here, Maharaj. So they seek happiness from this because they not seen yet the higher happiness. Maybe Krishna will bless Maharaj here.
Also here, everywhere, the world that's going on.
Yes.
So yes, those restrictions are there, and they are meant not to bring unhappiness to people.
Yes.
But they are really meant to liberate people from their misery.
Yes.
Yes.
The laws of the universe are there.
Yes.
If we follow them, we can live very happily.
Yes.
Just like you may like to go for a walk.
Yes.
Huh? But if you go for the walk off the cliff, off the mountain,
yes.
then the law of gravity will restrict your freedom to walk off the mountain.
Right? Yes,
the law of gravity will restrict your freedom because then you will get all your enjoyment will be finished as you, when you fall to the ground.
Yes, Maharaj.
To the bottom of the mountain.
Yes, Maharaj.
Right? So by following the law, by respecting the law of gravity, then we can have a happy life.
Yes, Maharaj.
But if we ignore the law of gravity, then how can there be happiness?
Yes,
right, like that. So all these laws, these rules and regulations, they're meant for our happiness.
Yes.
And if we violate them, then we'll get a bad result will come.
Yes, Maharaj.
So better to follow them and then be happy. Why not?
Yes, Maharaj.
Sorry, dear.
Yes, Maharaj.
Maharaj, actually, my guide, actually, today I sent the paper. So he wants to come to India, Maharaj, and he wants to take bath in Ganges. So because he heard that, you know, people take bath in Ganges to wash the sin, Maharaj. So so that purpose he wants to take bath. Maybe I am praying to Mother Ganges that Mother Ganges will bless him so that he will become Krishna conscious.
Tell him that there are. That going to the holy places like Ganges and other places like that is not merely to go to those holy places. I think I mentioned this before.
Yes.
That going to the holy places is not simply for taking bath.
Yes, Maharaj.
And taking the dust.
Yes.
Just like tell them there are so many cows that are doing the same thing.
Yes. Yes.
Cows are coming there also and bathing.
Yes, Maharaj.
That real purpose of going to the holy places is to hear from the holy people.
Yes.
So you try to find some holy person and learn from them.
Yes.
Those holy places are the centers of spiritual learning, and therefore we must go there for that purpose.
Yes.
And that will be the real benefit of going to the holy place. And not only taking a bath and getting rid of sins, but getting rid of the sinful mentality, the root core of our sin, that has to become extracted.
Yes.
And that can be done in the presence of the Vaishnava if we take sincerely their instructions, their guidance.
Yes. Maharaj, he's told.
Try to do that in also a serving mood.
Yes.
So this way we'll get their genuine blessings.
Yes. Maharaj, he told to increase your interaction. What I'm thinking that, you know, every Friday you can give one class on this Sanskrit mantras and Indian philosophy. So Maharaj, I thought that he's giving some opportunity, Maharaj, by Krishna's arrangement. So I told him, I will speak something on, you know, Sanskrit stokas to this. But actually, Maharaj, what is the major problem is that here people can understand English. So that is the major problem. So I told Maharaj, at least like 2-3 who understand English, they are there, some interaction will be there. So I will be telling him next week to organize that. He himself told that every Friday we should have this. So
you chant the holy names.
Yes, Maharaj.
Like everybody can do that, whether they understand English or not.
Yes, Maharaj.
Teach them the chanting of the holy names at least.
Yes, Maharaj.
And then mention some basic concepts.
Yes, Maharaj.
Who is Krishna? Who is Guru? Whether it's soul?
Yes.
Jiva?
Yes.
And try to explain how the relationship between them.
Yes.
Maybe draw some diagram.
Yes.
You know.
And he wants to know also about yoga. What are the yoga?
Yes.
Yes.
Anyhow, yeah, if you draw some diagrams, sometimes the picture is worth 1,000 words, and they can just see from the diagram, you can probably draw it and explain it. Yes. They won't, they may be able to follow it easier.
Yes, yes, Maharaj.
You know, than trying to give so many words.
Yes, yes, Maharaj.
They can see something.
Yes.
Some slideshow, Maharaj.
What's that?
Some slideshows also our Sushant Guru can prepare. Yes. Some slides.
Slider on the blackboard, whatever.
Yes.
And then try to mention this about the three activities of life.
Yes.
Three choices that we have.
Yes.
Exploitation, renunciation, dedication.
Dedication.
Try to mention that.
Yes. Yes, Maharaj.
Very fundamental.
Yes, Maharaj.
All right.
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, actually, this I think all our devotees are you know telling they will help for this web page preparation also, and also Ramesh Prabhu is you know wants to little bit you know transcribe what you can say from our this audios, if some and also Maharaj we will work on this weekend. Our Purushottam Prabhu also will work on this newsletter, Maharaj. So something will come, Maharaj. Some out like we can come with some you know some work done, Maharaj. Some seva.
Very nice. All right, let us end here.
It's all because of you, Maharaj.
It's because of me. Huh?
Yes, sir.
It's all because of you.
No, Maharaj, we are dead persons, Maharaj. You make us alive, Maharaj.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. I have to ask you something after you conclude this recording.
Yes, Maharaj.
I have something personal to ask you.
Yes, Maharaj.